Michael Beaumont is interim national chairperson of Action SA. And as I said a little bit earlier on, that they launched their manifesto at Ellis Park over the weekend, touching on a number of matters ranging from transport, schooling, and all the way to job creation. And he joins us right now. Michael Beaumont, thanks very much for your time. Welcome to 702. Was it a successful weekend?
Without any question, Thabo, I think what South Africans witnessed was a party that probably now represents the most diverse party in South Africa, certainly the fastest growing in all nine provinces. But we welcome the fact that we got to go among the latter parties in launching manifestos, because we think some of the parties that came before us have misread the national mood. They have laid new promises on top of broken ones. And in many ways, what separated Action SA's manifesto was the credibility behind the plans. It wasn't just about what we're going to do, it's how we're going to get government working to do it. I think that was an important distinction.
I mean, you're speaking about a distinction, Michael. Let's go straight to them. You are focusing as well on small businesses, if we'd like to start there, please, for a second. And you're mentioning that this is a very important component of society if you're trying to improve the economy of the country. And you are saying that there will be a fund that assists small businesses to grow. Some would say those funds are already there. You have SEFA, you have SEDA, you have in Gauteng, GPF and many others. Not GPF, that's for their pensions funds, but the Gauteng Economic Propeller, GEP, and to say. One would ask, what would make your fund different from those that are existing now?
Well, I think let's be clear, there's a lot of acronyms, but not a lot of economic growth or small businesses that are being aided to take off. One doesn't need to look much further than an unemployment rate in its broader sense standing at 43%. To appreciate that all those acronyms are not producing jobs, Double. From our perspective, we are laying down an alternative to BEE. We call it inclusive economic empowerment. Our position is that BEE has never benefited South Africans at grassroots level, because all of those acronyms you mentioned are largely about political connections and access to a certain level of capital in order to take advantage. We are putting forward the Opportunity Fund as an alternative. That Opportunity Fund is funded through an additional tax, which will be affordable to businesses when the BEE compliance costs are removed, which we know is around 6% of profit for many businesses. And it will produce funding for opportunity creation. More schools, more colleges, more FETs, more scholarships and bursaries, and as you say, interest-free loans to small emerging businesses. We need small business to be the contributor to our economic growth. And there could be no greater champion that than Herman Mashaba, the man who created such a business out of the boot of his car at a time where the government would not make that easy for him.
Let's move on to the next issue, Michael, and I'd like us to touch on as many issues as possible just to do justice to your manifesto as well, as John usually does. I would then move on to the matter of children who should read for meaning. You are proposing a very interesting insight here. You are saying that by 2035, if I'm not mistaken, it should be 90% of children or learners who are able to read and read for meaning, I'd like to gather. Take us through that, because a lot of parents would be interested in knowing how would that come about, because reading for meaning is not just a function of a product of a classroom. There should be other extracurricular activities that stimulate the culture of reading as well. Say more about that, Michael.
Well, without any question, I think you need to look at the education value chain to recognize that it begins with early childhood development. All the science demonstrates that children who have experienced early childhood development are more successful in their latter years of education. And certainly that is a major thrust of the Action SA economic offering. But beyond that, a big part of it is we're saying we have to get the unions out of education. Yes, unions have a right to exist. But in South Africa, they control our education system. They determine who gets appointed. They determine the performance management framework, and it cannot be that way. Government must determine education, and the unions are an important stakeholder at the table, but it's not their table. And I think that's got to be a fundamental shift.
Sure.
We're also putting forward the idea that there has to be school inspectors to ensure the quality of education is getting attention.
And by the unions making appointments, and they would be doing so illegally, as you would know. It's not their responsibility to do so. You have the school governing bodies who are constituted of teaching, non-teaching staff, learners and parents mostly. Though that is the body that is meant to go through various appointments, or at least recommend that to the district. It's the management, I suppose, or lack of, that would then allow unions to seep in and have somewhat of a dominance over that process. How will you see to it that without creating a draconian state without unions, that still happens? Because they do represent a strong cohort of teachers who believe in restoring their rights and protecting their labor rights as well.
Well, I think we must make this a broader conversation, because whether it's about education or the economic direction of our country, we need to appreciate that the ANC has effectively been a coalition government with COSATU and the SACP since 1994. And that coalition has been paid for heavily by South Africans by way of influence of those two unelected partners in our education and economic system. Action SA is not denying that unions have an important role to play. They have a seat at the table, and they need to be a part of the conversation. But what's been taking place over the last few decades is a perversion of that process. We cannot have economic direction determined by the unions. That must be determined by governments that are elected by the South African people, and so too with the curriculum and the performance management of our educators. From that point of view, government is the one that must determine these things. And yes, the unions have a seat at the table, but as I say, it's not their table.
One of the things that would immediately touch South Africans in their studio, to use that South African phrase, would be the matter of load shedding. You are proposing that you need to, again, another South African phrase, make the circle a bit bigger for the private sector to participate and allow them a bit of space. But you are talking about the gradual introduction of renewables.
Yeah, without any question, there's got to be the introduction of renewables, but that introduction cannot be on the terms that are required of South Africa by the global community. South Africa needs to be clear to the global community that we have 43% unemployment. We have provinces that are massively dependent on the coal industry, and that transition has to be a just transition for the South African people. But the example of load shedding is a good one. It began in 2007. It's been going on for 17 years. We have a government that, as we approach an election, claims it's coming to an end yet again. And yet there are countries that have gone through these crises and addressed them. And it is about bringing in private energy production into our grid. It is about enabling municipalities to be producers of electricity, as well as individual households and properties. And we need to follow the course of action outlined by so many countries that have solved the energy crisis in a year or two, whereas we've followed in this crisis since 2007, and it's intolerable.
Michael, hang 10 for me. I have to take a break. It's 18 minutes after 5 o'clock. My guest, Michael Beaumont, Interim National Chairperson of Action SA. And every now and then, we'd like to reflect on the manifesto launches and go deeper and dive deeper into the manifesto of one party or the other to understand a number of aspects that they're raising as their priorities and get you to interact with it, especially ahead of the May 29 elections. You are on 702. Most welcome to participate in this discussion as I speak to the Interim National Chairperson of Action SA, Michael Beaumont, who is telling us and giving us a rundown of what their manifesto entails. 011-883-0702. 011-883-0702. Michael, let's backtrack a bit, if you will, on the issue of education. You raised a very important issue of saying that given an opportunity under the government of Action SA post May 29, if that were to happen, you would merge the Department of Basic Education and the Department of Higher Education. Education as it is, and I'm sure you know this, Michael, the complexities in our education strands are so huge. As it is, just the higher education department has got quite a lot to deal with. Putting it under one roof Will that in any way alleviate all these complexities?
We think so, most certainly, for two reasons. I think, firstly, the complexity has to be that we have a bloated cabinet of failed politicians who are costing the South African people too much money. A 64-person cabinet for South Africa is outrageous, and it is basically used to balance the internal politics of the ANC. We put forward a cabinet of between 18 and 20 people that we have presented, and in our view, education is one system. We need to look at education through one lens, and that is the value chain beginning at early childhood development all the way through to tertiary education after school. And actually, this is an area where Action SA has put forward a view that we believe we need to have funded tertiary education for every academically qualifying child. There has to be a dynamic where no child has a lack of options after leaving school because they cannot afford further studies. We've seen a failure to build more university and the closing of colleges throughout South Africa, despite the fact that the population of 18-year-old school leavers each year has increased by a factor of 10 since 1994. We need to have more opportunities for young people, including a voluntary year of service, which is another cornerstone of the Action SA manifesto offering, so that no child has a lack of options after they leave school.
Let me see if I heard you correctly, and I'll give you an opportunity to continue. Did you say every academically deserving child or qualifying child, or just kids who can't financially yet academically qualifying?
It needs to be both. It's obviously a means test. We cannot have a situation where government is funding
everybody,
the children of wealthy people to go and study. That's not the role of government.
Yeah, it's what I wanted to establish.
It's for academically deserving and people who meet the means test of requiring government support for education.
Let's talk about another worrying issue in South Africa, our transportation system, especially the rail network. Whilst we have a very formidable one, its functionality of late has been of essence, and we know that a majority of working South Africans are highly dependent on public transport to move from their homes to work and so on. To what extent is Action SA proffering some sort of solution in this area?
Well, completely. I think that problem is complicated so much more by the fact that many households are spending 40 to 45% of household income on transport because they live in the outskirts of cities, and seeking opportunity is a great effort. In that regard, we think a hell of a lot has to be done. Firstly, our rail system has to be dealt with, both from a transport but also an economic standpoint. Our freeways are clogged with trucks that really should be transporting goods that are on rail, but the management of our rail services has been a disaster, and the vandalism and theft of infrastructure has been a major reason why our rail system has collapsed. But simultaneously, we need to partner with municipal and provincial governments to make sure that public transport is more of an option for the South African people, that it is affordable and it does allow them to get from place A to B without costing them a fortune.
Michael, on one end, there seems to be a concession on your side that the future of South African politics will be heavily reliant on coalitions. On the other end, we understand that even prior to an election, you seem as Action SA to be rejecting the idea of your once faithful partner, the EFF.
Well, I think we need to be quite clear about this. The EFF has not been a faithful partner at all.
No, where previously.
Previously is previously. We're dealing in the current environment, and we live in a province, and I, that is governed by an ANC and EFF majority, where the EFF is campaigning against the ANC and governing with them in coalition. And that is not the kind of partners we can work with. We were explicit in the multi-party charter that we signed up with that we will not partner with any organization that is going to use their votes to put the ANC or EFF into government. And if the EFF does that, that makes them incompatible. But I think we also need to be real, is that the EFF's ideological offering is completely at odds with that of Action SA, and there is no ideological compatibility there. When it comes to day one, and the most important priority becomes growing our economy and creating jobs, we cannot have nationalization of the Reserve Bank as priority one. We need to have sensible economic offerings.
Michael Bremont, thanks very much for your time. Really appreciate it. Interim National Chairperson of Action SA, 27 after 5.